Welcome to a special episode of Coffee in the Barn, where we discuss exclusive content featuring our captivating guest speakers. Today, prepare to be enthralled as we dive deep into the minds and hearts of our extraordinary guests. From pioneer figures in the world of agriculture to trailblazers pushing the boundaries of innovation, each speaker brings a unique perspective and a wealth of insight to share. So grab your coffee and settle in to learn more about our incredible guests. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Coffee in the Barn. We have a very special guest with us, Kristen Hicks Roof with the National Pork Board. She is a dietitian and mom of three. And welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to chatting today about just life in general and some of the human nutrition work with pork.
Yeah, so could you tell the audience just a little bit, tell us a little bit more about you and kind of how you got to where you are at in your career currently?
Yeah, so growing up, I was an athlete, and I realized early on in my high school years that what I ate directly impacted my performance. And that's what really got me into this nutrition space, is understanding that everything that we put into our body ultimately has a positive or negative consequence in a way for what we want to do with our body, right? And so I went to school, I became a dietitian, and I love practicing as a dietitian. I've worked in corporate wellness and clinical health. I've had a private practice in nutrition, and I truly just love helping people use food to nourish their bodies, but then also enjoy food and help their performance, whether that means going for a walk or playing with their kids. And so after all my schooling and studies, I decided to become a professor. So I was a professor at the University of North Florida, and I loved my job, being able to teach and support students with nutrition and how could they talk to nutrition with other people. But ultimately, I wanted something bigger. I wanted a larger platform to show how food can be part of everyone's diet. And it is so connected with your culture and family traditions and everything. And so that's ultimately why I ended up taking the job at the National Pork Board, is I felt like it got that research side, which I'm a scientist. I'm a total nerd. I love that work. But then I also get to do the science and then talk about the science and really how pork plays a role in the human body. And I think that is just, it's really fun. And then I know we're going to dive into motherhood a little bit. And that has obviously helped move my, during my journey, allowed me to kind of take these different roles that was best for me and my family.
Well, that's awesome. How long have you been at the National Pork Board?
I've been at the National Pork Board a little less than a year. Fun fact is I was actually on maternity leave with my other job, and I was just nursing and I was scrolling on LinkedIn and I saw this job. I had no plans on changing jobs. I was a tenured professor in Florida, and I was like, this job just sounds so cool. And middle of the night nursing, I was like, you know what? I'm applying for this job and I'm going to see how it goes. And then a couple of months later, I got the job, and it really was meant to be.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
And you have three kids, correct?
I do. It is a busy household over here in the Roof household. We have three kids. We have an almost six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a one-year-old little girls. And they are the light of my life, and they, you know, really help drive me to having such a great career. But it's also really cool because I work from home, and, you know, work-life boundaries can be really challenging for those who work from home. And luckily my kids are at school or daycare during the day, but I think it's really cool that I can show my kids and explain to them like how important it is for mom to work. And I get to show that I can have this great career, but then talk about, look, when mom works, then we get to do fun stuff. Like, let's go bowling, and we can afford to go bowling because mom is helping to work. So I feel like in a way it's really cool to be a role model to them, especially as young women.
Almost definitely. That's one of the, I have a 3-year-old little girl and then a 1-year-old little boy. And that's one thing that I just, my daughter's such a little version of myself, and how like stubborn she is and just her attitude and how she has to do things exactly her way and whatnot. And I'm like, yes, it's irritating sometimes because we just like need to get things done, but I don't. It's like, how do you balance and not like shut that down because I know, like, one day she's going to be the boss of someone.
Oh, yes. And I think 3 is a uniquely challenging year, right? Like, they are learning their own autonomy. But I think that's part of our jobs, too, as moms, like, embrace their personality, but then guide them, right? And being that role model, I think, is that opportunity where you don't necessarily have to directly teach them, but you're indirectly teaching them by, like, yeah, supporting that. Like, and I think that, you know, I'm a millennial, so, right, we love gentle parenting, which is really funny because you talk to other generations and they're like, my mom thinks I'm ridiculous as a parent. But I think it is a really fun opportunity to embrace who they are, but then, yeah, show them that, like, you can have everything in life that you want. You just gotta work hard and make it happen.
Definitely.
So, Kristen, you mentioned you were an athlete. Do you still keep physically active, or kind of go into that a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, man. So I played soccer, I mean, a long time. I have played since I was 3. I played at the University of Arizona on their club sports team, and I absolutely loved playing in college. I played afterward in between each baby, right? You can't play while you're pregnant. So then I'd play a few months postpartum when it was a little bit easier to nurse and be gone for a couple hours. I played up until last year because I broke my ankle playing like a women's co-ed. And having 2 kids under the age of 4 and trying to put on a brace every day to try and move was exhausting. So, no, I don't play soccer anymore, but I love playing pickleball with my mom. And I love just going on a walk and going on bike rides, like just showing my kids too, again, like that it's important to be active and take care of our bodies. And I live in Arizona. It is beautiful most of the year. And so being outside. But I do miss soccer, but I just can't risk it anymore.
That would have been very difficult, yes.
Oh, it was. And, you know, my kids are so go, go, go that they'd be like, Mom, come play, you know, do this puzzle or whatever. And I'd, like, have to hop over or, like, put on my boot. I'm like, give me 2 minutes. I got to put on my boot. So, yeah.
That's
not
when you just prop up yourself and then you just sit on the floor and you say, okay, you bring those things to me and then I'll play with you.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and I do it to myself because I am so go, go, go that my kids now are very go, go, go. And so when I try and go slow, it does not mesh well.
Do you have to travel much with your role with the pork board?
I do travel a decent amount. Last year, for a good example, so I had my baby was born in February of 23. By the end of 23, we probably went on 40 flights together. She went everywhere with me. Actually, the trip in Madison
the little girl that was strapped to you?
No, so she was the first time I did not take my baby since she was born, and it was a blessing. But yeah, I do travel a lot, but I have great support systems. And it just helps me, again, have this career that I really want to have, but then have the family piece that I also really want to have. I feel like it's a really even split there.
How were you able to, I guess when you were traveling, were you going to like customer meetings or conferences, or how did you balance that with a newborn?
Oh, girl, it was crazy. Sometimes I would bring my mom, who has supported me in my journey and traveling for the last 5 years. So this is not new to her. I've always traveled for work, just not to this capacity. So sometimes it was for meetings or conferences or presentations. So my mom would come, or sometimes my nanny would come. I had to go to Denmark for a meeting. And so travel with the baby internationally. And I was in like 16-hour days, meetings and presentations. And so the nanny just like, had her all day, every day, and every time we had a break, I'd go and I'd nurse and then I'd pump and then, yeah, it was crazy. But you know, I love what I do and it just helps make it happen. And the pork board, I will say, is absolutely incredible. Like I told them, obviously I was interviewing, right? When I had a 2-month old and I said, look, work balance is going to be critical. Like my children are a core part of my life. And so if that's not in the dynamic of the company. Like, I'm just not the best fit, but they were, you know, wholehearted and welcoming. And they were like, no, we're very family friendly and they truly mean it. And I can't tell you, I've been so supportive. Like, I've had people at the pork board watch Ellie while I'm giving meetings or, you know, when I'm walking down the hall, they all come outside and love on her. And so it has been, it's been awesome.
Go into the fact of, obviously you were on maternity leave. You're a tenured track professor as well. How was that becoming tenured tracked and balancing that with family? And was that some of the maybe push to go to the pork board?
So that's a good question, Casey. So I was already tenured. I had already had tenure. No, I don't think it was a push. Honestly, I thought when I got tenure, it was going to be like this monumental feeling, and it really wasn't. It was the same thing. Again, because when I go into a job, I just love really what I do. The big reason why I ultimately decided to take this job at the pork board is it just had a larger reach, and it felt like I could help and impact more people's lives than what I could as a dietitian. And that's my, one of my core values. Like, I, as a dietitian, as a person, I just want to help people. I want to help people be happy and not stigmatize food and have a wonderful relationship with food. And so that was really the reason. It was a challenge in the transition because in my academic life, I had a lot of time off, right? I had have summers off. I had winter. I had spring break off. And so that's probably been the hardest part is like watching all my academic friends going on spring break this last week. And I didn't get that time with the kids. Now I did take a half day off, but yeah, it's a little bit of a challenge, but I love what I do. And so you kind of make it work. You make it work. And there's other things that I am now afforded that I can do that I couldn't do my academic life. So there's always pros and cons with any job you take, but I'm very happy that I made the move. And yeah, it's been a really good fit. And I love diving into research, but then being able to do the nutrition communications. Like, it's just fun.
And what a better protein to work with.
I know, right? And you know, I think pork, and that was another reason why I took this job. Pork is this protein that like kind of gets lost in the middle child. Yeah, it's like it's totally like the middle child. Like, no one really understands its value or its purpose or its intent. But like, I saw, and this is like my personality. When I see an opportunity, like, and you give me the reins to just run with it, like that is my bread and butter. I mean, seriously. And so I saw, wow, there's this protein that like doesn't get talked about enough. We don't have enough research. And so I could come into this position and like work with academics and do some great research, but then being able to talk about that to consumers and to stakeholders and to dietitians and to scientists. And that's just like really cool to me. And so my goal over the next 5 years, like as a personal goal, is that you'll just see pork more in mainstream communications. And it's not that middle child, but it is a, you know, premier protein that can be on anyone's plate. And we can kind of dispel a lot of the myths of why people maybe didn't consume pork in the past and support them that pork can be that protein option. Now, am I forcing it on you? Absolutely not. But I'm showing you, here's this amazing protein that offers incredible nutritional value that we also have research to show its role in human health and its positive role. And so, yeah, it's just super cool to be in this role. And that's why, I mean, you'll see me at a lot of meetings. It's just fun to talk about the research and talking about why it's a great protein. And I serve it to my kids. I think it's a wonderful protein. And I know we're going to dive deeper into that for kids because of its versatility and the different ways that you can offer it. It's just really fun.
What do you think? Professionally, why have we been the middle child? And I know we're going to dive into it from a food source, but like, what do you think animal ag is about getting protein into people's diets and where, as a nutritionist, where we've struggled from either pork or other, you know, protein sources?
I think protein is a competitive space, right? So I'm going to put on my dietitian hat here. Everyone, every consumer wants to come to you and be like, how do I add more protein in my diet? But it's tricky because the space is filled with protein bars, protein drinks, protein, you know, crisps, protein chips, protein, blah, blah, blah. Like, you name it. There is a protein everything, right? And so I think animal proteins are a critical role in people's life, but they get confused with all these other products that they don't realize that you have this wholesome, fresh protein in the meat case. And so, yes, they are animal protein consumers, but I also think they get really confused with a lot of the, like, inner store, right? The inner part of the grocery store, because it is really confusing. I will tell you, I mean, I'm a very knowledgeable nutrition expert, and I get confused sometimes when I see labels or ads. Now, pork, why I feel like it's almost gotten lost is it's a bit tricky. One is because other proteins potentially have reached out to healthcare professionals and really educated health professionals on the research and what the role is of those proteins in health. And I don't think pork just really dove into that investment with human nutrition. And ultimately, if people are hearing it from health professionals and national guidance and all of the marketing campaigns, they're more likely to choose it, right? Like, a great example is, you know, a chicken. Chicken got into the eyes and ears of a health professional. And now every person, if you say, oh, what's a great protein to lose weight or be healthier? People say, oh, I'll opt for chicken. And why? Most people probably couldn't tell you why that they would choose chicken. They just heard it was a healthier protein. Well, pork tenderloin is just as lean as skinless chicken breast. Do people talk about that? No, not really. And I think part of it is we just haven't, and again, this is my opinion, we haven't invested as heavy probably in the past in human nutrition, but we are. And I think that's why it's amazing that the pork board is putting dollars and ways of really diving deeper in what is pork's role in human health in the research space. So then we can talk to all these different groups, and then people then will know it's a protein option. And then I think people will choose it, not because they just know it's healthier, but because they know it's now an option that can be part of their lifestyles. So I think that's a really long-winded answer, but I think pork is in an ideal space, and we have such unique facets of the protein. That's not only the protein, but then the nutritional quality that it's delivering too with the micronutrients. So I think the story will be changed. I hope, Casey, over the next 5 years, I think pork will be more positively viewed.
Well, it sounds like we hired the right person to do that. And I'm really excited to see that shift and, you know, talk about the lean protein option that we produce and the sustainability behind it and our messaging from even food wastage and wonderful stuff. Morgan, do you have anything else to kind of?
Well, I just had, is there, before you joining the National Pork Board, has the National Pork Board always have dietitians on staff, but just not necessarily in the same role that you're currently doing and talking with the healthcare and research and whatnot?
Yeah, so the Pork Board has done stuff throughout the years. They have always invested in some sort of human nutrition or nutrition space. So I'm not to say that they haven't. They just haven't done as large as a investment as they are now. And so, yeah, there have been some, it's been kind of up and down, whether it's investing in food safety, nutrition, health. And so there's been kind of an array of background. So to put it in perspective, from the history of Pork Board up until about 2020, they had about 58 research studies related to human nutrition. Since 2021, we've invested in 24 human nutrition studies, right? And so, like, you see this, like, massive investment. But my predecessor, Kara Belke Ungerman, I mean, if it wasn't for her, she's a dietitian, she came to the Pork Board 2019, 2020, and she was a pioneer in nutrition, and she was literally the perfect hire for the Pork Board at the time, because she showed the board and all the folks at the National Pork Board how critical it was to have the Pork Board invest in human nutrition. And without her, we would still be the same place we were 10 years ago. which was middle road, right? We weren't great. We weren't bad. We were just kind of middle of the road. And so she helped to like invigorate and to put a fire into this. And it was her dietitian background, but then she was also so passionate. Her families are farmers and she like just saw the potential. And so the pork board was like, okay, the board of directors said, okay, we'll invest in this. We'll give you like a 3-year pilot. That's what brought me on board. And then my counterpart, Emily Krause. And I think now we have this drive and a goal and people see the value now, right? Like sometimes if you don't know what you're not investing in, you don't see the value. And I think Kara did an incredible job to show how critical it was that we invest in this. So then we can share this messaging over the coming years, right? Because the producers, Casey, as you talked about, they work hard, right? They work hard day in and day out to produce the best quality protein they can. They make changes to the diet, to the environment, to the, you know, feeding protocols, to the safety of the animals and the workers. Like they do all of that to produce a high quality protein. So it's our job now to make sure we can inform consumers and health professionals of what that high quality protein, what and how and why it can be part of people's plate. And so we are really excited for the future. And I think the past always is a way that you can learn of what we did, but then where can we go? And that's where we're at right now. And we have a wonderful opportunity of where we can go.
Oh yeah. I'm very excited to see what the future holds for National Pork Board and pork in general.
Yeah, me too. And I think our producers deserve it, right? They work really hard. Like they've improved the quality of the protein, but they've also improved their production practices to make a leaner, meaner machine, I would say. And so, yeah, I think they should reap these rewards. And if people start to have protein on their plate, that helps our producers, right? And so it's a win-win all around. People realize it's a great protein for their bodies, but then producers win because they can keep producing this incredible protein for the American people.
And how can the pork industry make it a win for you? What are you looking for your next, career? You took this as a growth move, a new opportunity. How can we support you in this endeavor? Because you speak so passionately about it. But what do we need from the producers who possibly are listening to help support you even more?
Yeah, I mean, I just know that producers are my champion and I'm a producer's champion, right? I think just having the opportunity to talk. And so that's a lot of what our health and wellness team are doing this year. We are at 9 state Academy of Nutrition conferences. I mean, Emily and I are on the road pretty much every month, if not twice a month, just having the stage and the opportunity to talk because we have and we know a lot of the nutrition research and the value of pork in human health. But we just haven't necessarily had the full-blown platform to do so. And so now that Emily and I are on board, we've been with the Pork Board for about a year, like we're really diving deep. So I think just more opportunities that I can share the research and how the research translates to the people and why people can and should consume pork as part of their dietary pattern. I think that is really what I need the most is just continuing to have that platform to share the truths and share the science and like why investing in the science is really so critical that then we can share the truth, right? If we don't have science, then it's our opinions. And while our opinions are great, we need science, right? We need science to make decisions about why people are going to eat the foods that they're going to eat.
Well, thank you. Before we stop this bonus content here of learning more about Kristen, I really want to thank you for being a tremendous role model for our industry, seeing somebody that's as intelligent as you, as professional as you, bringing your knowledge and expertise to help us make us better while carrying a baby on your hip and doing it right and putting that in context for the audience listening. I think we need more people like you in the ag space saying, hey, you can do it all. There's some exceptions and people need to work with it. And the coffee in the barn and the committee I've put together in the past around coffee and careers at animal science, we're just kind of shortening it down a little bit, but is really about empowering people in ag, not just women, but working parents. And I get a lot of feedback from everybody who's come to our special symposiums, listen to our webinars, to the podcast, was they really appreciate how we are showing work-life balance. And we appreciate you as well being that great example that, hey, we can be working parents and professionals.
Casey, I agree. And I love to be that example. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to be that example, though, without the National Fork Board. Because if you don't have a company that truly values and empowers you as a working parent, I think there's a lot of challenges, right? But they were all for it. I said, look, for the first year, I'm going to have a baby with me everywhere I go. And they were like, great. How can we accommodate you? Right. And so I agree with you, Casey. I think we need more of it, but I also think we need more champions like the National Pork Board as an organization to support working women. And they do such an amazing job. Like, I could list for you so many reasons why I can be so successful. And, you know, they are a big factor in that.
Making me all teary-eyed.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, we can't cut that, Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. You need that. No, I think I am so passionate, and it's really been such a fun job because, you know, even when I was interviewing, it was like, look, if you just want a placeholder, like, I'm not your person. You know, like, I am going to come in 110% and just make a change because that's my personality. That's my driver. So yeah, it's really fun. It's been a fun role, and I feel like we have the opportunity to do it, and I think we're doing it.
Awesome. I really appreciate joining us.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, thanks so much, y'all.